Hey everybody, how's it going? My name is Errol E, and welcome to Every Moment with Errol E. So today is going to be an amazing podcast, a special podcast, and it's for fathers. So happy Father's Day, everybody. So today we have three fathers. They are raising young men, young women, and today I can't wait to introduce everyone. So we have James, we have Tato, and we have Nate. So welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you,
Errol. Thank you for having me, thank you, Errol. Appreciate
you're very
that.
Welcome.
Thank you, Errol.
So I just want to hit in on this. So what was that moment like when you found out that you was going to be a father? What was that moment when you heard those words where your girlfriend, your wife said, "I am pregnant"? What was the first reaction? And whoever wants to start first, you can start.
Yeah, I'll go first. So for us, it was a surprise because we had just came back from a birthday trip for my wife from Mexico. So then my wife, she was like, "Hey, we brought a stowaway from Mexico." I'm like, "Stowaway? What are you talking about?" And then she shows me the pregnancy test, and I was like, "Oh!"
That's funny. Wait, like, so your child was conceived not in America?
No. So we our joke is that she's our illegal immigrant or illegal immigrant.
Oh, that is good.
That's funny, man.
So who was
in the U.S.?
It's great.
So who was going next?
Sure, I'll go next. I think my situation was. It's just a little, I actually, in today's age, I would say it's realistic. It's not as tough to swallow as, I guess, maybe 20 years ago. But I became a parent instantly after I graduated high school. So, college, sorry. And so, you know, that's my wife, she had two already. So me just being thrown into there, it's like being thrown into the wolves, and they ate me up, man. I gotta tell you, I've been chewed up and spit out several times over, man. But it's been the question was, how did you feel when you first I looked at it and said, this is the woman I love, and she has two children, so I love them the same, and you know, I'm gonna figure it out. And so, you know, I think that's like what any parent does is figure it out. You know what I mean? So that's pretty much what I can say about that.
Solid.
And Nate?
Hey, guys. All right. Well, I had a situation with James. Like, I met a beautiful woman, black Nubian queen.
Come on now.
Her name is Tiffany. Now. And she has two. She had two beautiful queens as well, princesses, and I had to learn to accept that responsibility to be a father without being a biological father at that time, because those daughters were my daughters as well. So, like you said too, to repeat, I had to figure it out, and you know, lo and behold, I had a child of my own through. So now that's three.
Congratulations, so man.
Three and one more on the way now. So,
oh, snap.
Hey. Yeah, so hey. It's a blessing. Being a father is a beautiful thing. I learned the best because I had a really good father. I had a great father who taught me how to be a man. So, like, we don't run from our responsibilities. We man up. And we man up to our situations we face, whatever challenge it may come, you know, our way. And with God's help, you know, we can do all things. So I believe
come
that.
On now.
Mm-hmm. I believe talking, that. Dude. I stand on that as word, because, you know, I met a strong woman. So now she can help me through along with my journey. So it definitely helps along the way when you have somebody with you. But being a single dad, I'm how they do it, but I salute all the single fathers out there and the single moms. Mm.
So awesome, Nate. So that actually leads into a lot of the other questions too as well that I have. So one being having that male influence in your life. Now, I know growing up, I never had my father in my life at all. So I am going to be learning from myself, learning from maybe other male
you
figures.
You're learning from us.
And y'all, yes. But learning from other male figures in my life, my friends, everybody. But right. But what would you say to the people who don't have those strong male influences in their life? Or what about, have you guys had your father pivotally in your life the whole time? And if so, how did that shape you?
Let me take this, y'all.
Or if not, how did that shape you? Like, how is that?
Right. So, my dad, he left my mom, I think, when I was around six. Hmm. But I would always, the arrangement was I would see him two weeks out of the month. Two weekends out of the month, sorry. And then when I became around 16 of age, 16, 17, that dissipated. So I didn't see him at all. And so my mom, though, the genius part about my mom is that she kept me in sports. So I had these father figures that were coaches, you know, and anybody who plays sports, you learn a lot about your character, like fight or flight, like what you can take, what you can endure through sports. And a lot of that, I was able to, those transferable skills, I was able to incorporate in life. Mm-hmm. And so at the Boys and Girls Club, my basketball coach became a father figure of mine. He was at my wedding. And when I gave my life to Christ, the bishop that I was under, he was a father figure to me. So it was like, it was a combination, it was a series of different men in my life that had a pivotal role, like through those chapters of a young man growing up, that led me to where I am today. So I wouldn't say it's a disadvantage for anybody who doesn't have their biological dad in their life, as long as the men in their life are pouring into them and they're a positive influence, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Awesome.
My cereal.
Awesome. Amen. Great words.
That's good words.
Yes.
I'm going to answer the question too. Mm-hmm. Being like, I know it's hard. I can only imagine how hard it could be to grow up without a father. I had a father most of my life, majority of my life. He was very pivotal part. He's a very pivotal part of my life. No, it's cool. He's a very important part of my life, but I lost my father when I was 21, and so that time that I had was short-lived, you know. But that short period of time that I did have, I learned as much as he could teach me up to that point, you know. And when I shortly came to Delaware, I think I met you, Errol, and Tato and everybody else. I didn't have a father back there in college, so he didn't get the chance to see me. He got the chance to see me graduate from high school but not go to college. So he led me on to the journey, transition into college. So, you know, I just learned from that. Whether you have a father or you don't have a father, my Heavenly Father was the one who basically took the mantle. I had a brother, but no one else came along the way to take up that torch that my father laid. So I had to just learn from God, basically, how to be a man.
Right.
Going on. Yeah. Yep.
Yo, but you know what, Nate, though, man? You know, I know the God I serve. It's like... Yeah. When you say you ain't had nothing, but you didn't have anything but the Heavenly Father to show you, he puts people in your place, though, right? I mean, he puts people in your path. It was dope, though, man. And I know, Earl, this is your podcast, but you know, I was thinking earlier, man, it's like when I think about what God is to me, he's peace, he's love, he's understanding, yeah. he's guidance, he's wisdom. So it's like anybody that comes across my path, if they giving me wisdom, that's God. If my peace, you know what I'm saying? Like I could be looking outside and the wind blowing, and it's just like this overwhelming sense of peace come over me. That's God. Like I can identify God in my daily life. And so I'm sure I know there's been people in your life that have come across yeah. that have been God.
Oh yeah.
You know, in that moment they give you those tools.
Yeah, definitely. Like my bishop definitely is one person right now that I look at, and the men's group that I'm part of also as well, that helps me gather my thoughts and my feelings and emotions. So definitely, you know, definitely that's definitely my life.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So we hear the words, be a man. Be a man. What does that mean to you? Because that could be taken a whole lot of ways. When people say be a man, especially to a young man, what does that really entail? Does that entail respecting women, respecting your elders, trying hard, doing the right thing? What does that all entail?
Well, I could start this one off. So it's always been in ancient cultures that we've always been grown with the idea of the males or the head man is the hunter, the gatherer, the provider, the protector and such. So just based off that, those are the first things that usually come to mind for me. It's like, all right, you know, it's my responsibility as a father is that I need to be able to provide for my family to make sure that we have food on the table. Protector, you know, now as a protector, you protect different ways. You can protect by what kind of knowledge you put in your kids' heads, like what kind of things are you seeding into their brain, instead of just getting them a whole bunch of nonsense, or protector as in like, you know, there's danger and such, or you teach them how to protect themselves, you know, give them the right direction and such. I see a father as a person who just helps give direction to his kids and to his family, one that can be able to do those hard decisions on, like, you know, hey, we gotta cut this out here, you know, we can go this way, go that way, you know, while the mother on the opposite end helps out with on the more like softer things about allowing things to calm down. Like when a father gets too rigid, she brings him down a little bit. Hey, bring him down a little bit. It's all good. So, you know, that's how we work together, mother and father, as a centripetal force.
Yeah, that's that wisdom right there. There's some cultures when they call their wives, they be like, that's my wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand that's what good. You mean, child, though. Yep. They center you, right? They get you right back in that alignment. Yeah, I get you, man. Mm-hmm. I would say, when I hear be a man, I think of like embodying all that you're responsible for and who you're responsible for. Mm-hmm. Like you said in the beginning, like not running. I think it was Nate that said not running from your responsibilities, mm-hmm. But taking them head on. And I don't know. I mean, I would say that's bravery, right? Like, you know, not knowing exactly what lies ahead, but, you know, just whatever comes, I'm going to tackle it. I'm going to handle it because I am who I am. I am a man. And, you know, that's what you got to do.
Yep.
But, you know, it's interesting, though, recently, maybe like a year ago, it was a man of God that told me, like, that a man is the nurturer. And I used to say, what are you talking about? Like, the woman, the mom, she's the nurturer. And, no, he was like, no. Like, when you look at it, the man, especially in a two-parent household, they have to console and nurture their wife, so their wife can be in a mental mindset to nurture the children. So, like, the man is the head nurturer, the man is the provider, but I think it's been perverted, like, what that provision is. It's not necessarily financial. It's everything that needs to be provided. That's what a man does. So, yeah, that's what I, when I hear be a man, and then when I teach that to my boys in this house, it's just like for at their age, like 12, this one is 16 months, and the other one's 5. At this point, it's just take responsibility for your choices and decisions. Like, every decision you make, own it. You know, good or bad or indifferent, don't try to pass the buck on to somebody else or blame somebody else for why you made this decision and why you did this. No, you got to take full responsibility. Like, hold yourself accountable. And because you hold yourself accountable, it'll steer you in a direction like, oh, maybe I shouldn't make that decision because this could happen to me. Instead of, well, whether I make this decision or not, I'm just going to blame it on this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
At this age, it's really just about, like, when I teach my children, when you be as a man, like as a young man, take full accountability for your choices and decisions. Because at the end of the day, that's what God gave us. That's the only thing he gave us was free will, the ability to choose, right? So it's so much power in choice. And if you take it for granted and try to give somebody else the power, how are you going to call yourself a man?
That's true. Right.
Really?
Yeah, that's 100%.
Awesome. Wow.
I also echo that, too. What Tata was saying was, a woman can calm a man down as well as taking responsibility. I'm learning a lot from you guys. Really, I'm taking all that in and reflecting it on my life and and how I could be a better man, how I could be a better father, how I can learn from each other. It's something that it's embedded in us. Like, we have to be the provider. We have to be the protector naturally.
Right.
But we're not taught how to be sensitive. We're not taught how to love, how to really deep dig into our soul and actually, like, show our emotions. You know, before I was afraid to cry in front of my woman. But now, you know, like, I'm learning to take off that layer of boldness and take off the masculinity off, take off that layer of clothes that that weight that holds me down as a man in society puts on to me as a black man or a man indifferent. If you don't have a job, you can't provide, you're not a man.
Right.
No, who says that? You know, like, there's a lot of people who don't have jobs out here. Right. With the COVID-19 hit, a lot of jobs shut down.
Right.
A lot of people lost their jobs. Are you still a man? You take all that off, are you still a man? You know, does that make you a man? You know, I used to think that that makes me a man, but it doesn't. Being there for your family is what makes you a man. Spending time with your family makes you a man.
That's true.
Quality time. And that COVID-19, basically, we're all in the house every single day, all day. It makes you more of a man than going to work every day because you're spending more time with your kids.
Sure. Yo, man, that's so true. Yeah. That's so true. Actually, it was somebody that told me, it's like, you know, like what Tato was saying earlier about how a woman calms you down. It was also shared to me. It's like, I was on this men's call, and he was saying how the person hosting the meeting, he's a former pastor, but he was saying how, like, a man they don't get emotional, like overly emotional. Like, at these times right now with this COVID-19, anybody that is, what's the word? He was not agitated, but, like, just, like, in a panic, like, in an anxiety state right now. That's not for men to do, especially men of God, because they know different. And so, like, it's just, Nate, like, I hear what you're saying. At this time is really when I can see children and women looking to, you know, a man for that comfort, that reassurance that everything's going to be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm glad you mentioned that, James. So with that, how are you, how is everyone taking care of their mental health? Because that is a big thing, especially for males. Men, we don't like to maybe show emotion or cry or be like, it's all right, everything's good, we good. But on the inside, it's really like, we're hurting, we're breaking down, but we can't show that. So how are you able to take care of your mental health with everything that's going on when it comes to, unfortunately, race and the world and the pandemic? And it's like one thing after another and so much negativity going on. How do you spread the yikety, Tato. How do you spread that positivity around?
Oh, okay. Well, since you put me on the spot with the yikety. To be completely honest, when everything first started, it was really tough mentally and emotionally because, you know, no one really prepares you for global pandemics or anything else like that. It's not something they give you a handbook. Hey, man, here's what you got to do. Just look at chapter 5. You know what to do after that, you know. This is just one of the things you got to go with the flow. Honestly, what I did, instead of overwhelming myself, like, okay, I got to figure something out and getting frantic and panicky and I have to do this, I have to do that, I actually just took a step back. And I took everything really slow and in stride. And what it did, it helped me, one, be able to see, okay, where am I at? Like, where's my family? Where's my business? What's going on? Everything's going slow. I might as well just go with the flow and do like that. And that kept me from freaking out because, you know, people losing their jobs. And then I'm like, great, am I still going to get clients for my business? You know, all this stuff was going in my head, but I was still getting calls. I was like, let me just trust that things are going to be good and just flow with it, you know, because the more you try to fight it, I think the thing is like, it's kind of like a river. The river is always giving you different things. You flow with it or you try to fight against it. And when you fight against it, you drown. Mm-hmm. So I was just flowing with the river. And once everything started to pick back up, I was like, all right, cool. Now I know what to do and everything. And such. For me personally, other ways for me to work on mental health and stuff, I'm a gamer. So I've been doing a lot of late night gaming. And I even got my wife involved and she's been gaming with me. We've actually beaten a couple games during this time. So you know, it's been stress relief / bonding for me and her. And that's what I could really say about that.
Nice.
Oh, and that's just touching COVID. Everything else with the protests and, you know, injustice and stuff. Being that we're all black men here, this is something that is not new to us per se. Like, we've seen this type of stuff over and over, whether it happened to us directly or happened to friends or family members around us and such. You know, I right now am. Like I said, going with the flow. You know, I see that, you know, trying to help everybody, comfort my my young friends and my siblings that are really, really hurt, because I feel like the younger people are really taking it hard to heart, because I feel like it's still the same, it still hurts. And while some people who are older either kind of like, it's been like this, or they're kind of like, you know, it'll be all right, we'll get through this, you know, we got to speak our voices and use our power. You know, people are talking about, you got to get out there and vote. Some people said we got to get out there and become part of police force. Some people say we got to be part of the political, we got to do like, what I've learned is if you want change to happen, you got to be a part of the change, step forward and do something. So what I feel about right now is I've been encouraging people, if this is what you want the change, go after it. Don't feel bad if somebody goes like, oh, you're doing blah, blah, blah. No, if this is what you feel, go for it. Trust your heart. I mean, you're put in this time period right now to be a part of this for some reason, right? So, you know, take advantage of it, or just let it like slide on by.
Yep. Definitely.
Awesome. Well said, man. Well said. So, we talked about kind of a little bit like raising a son, but what about raising a daughter? What is that like? Now, ooh. I know some might have sons, some might run the gamut and only have daughters. But what is that like, raising a daughter, or just watching like a child just grow?
Patience.
It takes patience. Now, from us,
that's exactly what it is.
Is patience?
Yes.
When I heard long suffering in the Bible, that's exactly what it is. My daughter is 15 years old right now, and I'm telling you, man, it's like we not seeing the same eye and eye that we used to see when she was like 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. It's different, man. I don't know them. It's like overnight different. And just patience, brother. Like I honestly say, like I'm 34 now, And I remember when I was like 18, I used to go over to my grandparents' house. My pop-pop had 5 daughters, and he always used to sit in the same chair. He barely spoke. Now I understand why I just sit in that same chair. It's just patience, man.
I think also, you know, with being having daughters, there is sensitivity in that.
Yeah.
You know, you know, where their emotions, they're so attached with their emotions. You know, I dropped my food on the floor. My sister took my toy, and you know, you gotta hear, you gotta listen, you gotta listen. As men, we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. As everybody, we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. We should do more listening than talking. Sometimes if we sit down with our daughter and we clean up her room, if she falls, she cuts her knee, we can be there as a comforter, and she can see past the pain, you know? So I definitely think that's good.
I do. Yeah. I just know, like, at this age, at 15, Nate, it ain't about I dropped my fork on the floor and crying. It's like social media, high school peer pressure stuff. Yeah. Like, am I pretty? Yep. And it's like, come on now, what you mean is you pretty? Like, I literally, and you know, this is what's dope though. You get those moments where it's just like wow, I'm a father to a 15-year-old daughter. Like the other, like maybe a month ago, she said, "Dad, I need to talk to you." I'm like, "Cool, what do you gotta say?" She said, "Well, it's kind of private." I said, "We gotta wait." So she came back like maybe 2 hours later. I said, no, I went to her. I said, so what you want to talk about? She said, can we take a walk? Like, oh, snap. This is like, yo, she want to take a walk with me and really talk. This is what's up. So we had a conversation that allowed us to increase our bond. And I was like, man, this is dope. But I remember telling her, you know, you're going to get out of this relationship with me that you put whatever you put in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't expect whatever type of relationship is supposed to happen if you don't put nothing in. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You guys, yeah, that's great advice you gave her.
Yeah. Really good advice. Oh, looks like we lost James, but that's fine. He'll dial back in. But
here, hold on. Let me touch in on the daughter thing real quick before you switch up the subject, because I'm a father to 2 beautiful young ladies.
There you go.
The thing I have to say about having daughters is I feel like having girls will make you a better father. Like, it's one thing that you're already a man and you're like, oh yeah, I gotta teach my son how to do this, because you already know how to do that. But now when you're being a father to a girl, you gotta kind of teach her those things, but not be as like, you know, and still learn how to be sensitive, learn how to talk in a way that she'll understand you and it won't be that you're being too hard. And I think having these 2 little girls has opened up some things. It's made me, you know, drop my guard a little bit to be a little bit more more emotional with them and stuff, to experience that side of life too.
Right. So Nate, any thoughts on that too?
Oh yeah, I'm learning all this stuff because I'm a new dad. So it's all taken in to me. Like, I made, you know, some mistakes being a new father. We're not gonna go there. But you know, I let my anger get the best of me, and you know, sometimes it's scary, and I didn't realize how scary I could be when I get angry. But you know, with that being said, I'm learning to tone it down a little bit. Being authoritative and just be silly sometimes, or just be sensitive. Like Tato said, learning how to let your guard down.
Right.
I'm just now learning that. So I haven't got there yet, so I'm learning as I go.
Mm-hmm.
Strong there. Like there's no boy gotta be a father to a girl. You know, you just gotta learn.
Right.
Get bumps and bruises, you know?
True. So
and I think a woman, mm-hmm. I will say this, your wife or your woman can teach you a little something if you watch them. Watch them and you watch how they interact with their daughters. Mm-hmm. You can learn from them. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's all I'm gonna say.
So when it comes to relationships, marriage, why is that so pivotal for families to really have that dynamic?
Don't put that in your mouth.
Why is it so important to have togetherness, family, instead of a single parent household? Because I've been through that too, single parent household, and that was rough. Why is it so important to have family togetherness?
I would say, really, I think one of the easiest answers, it took two people to make the baby. So it takes two people to raise the baby. I mean, as to me, it's pretty simple as that. You know, you can't make a baby. I can't put a baby out by myself. No, I need a woman for that. So,
right.
You know, if you two are going to be adult enough to engage in the practices of baby making, then you two need to be adult enough to be in the practices of baby raising.
Mm-hmm. Come on now, Tato. That's right. That's right, man. What I would say is it takes two because you need that balance. You know, mm-hmm. you need the child needs the balance. That brain that's being developed needs the balance. They need to see the yin and the yang and where they fit in the yin and the yang. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, it's like when you look at so many of these young men who grew up fatherless and they so highly emotional and they don't know how to work through problems. They don't know problem solving. Instead of problem solving, it's like the moment opposition comes, they willing to fight, kill, and whatever. It's ridiculous. And I'm not speaking from a place where I haven't experienced that myself. Had a neighbor who got arrested for attempted murder. And it's like, when I would talk to him, though, I saw how his emotions would kick up really quickly. And I say that to say, like, I have seen in my experience what a young man who comes from a two-parent household looks like mm-hmm. and what a young man who comes from a single-parent household looks like. Mm-hmm. It really is night and day. And it's just like how they process certain things. Mm-hmm. The yin and the yang, that's really what I'm going back to. Like a child needs to have that balance. Mm-hmm. And if it is going to be a single parent household, like my own personal life, then you have to make up that void, that lack with some other things. Does that mean like some supplements? So sports is a big deal, and I can only attest to that for what it did to me. Oh, right. And then when you give your life to something that has a man that's already well versed in it that can pour into you, that too. So I'm not saying God, because you know some people don't believe in that. Some people believe in the universe, which ultimately is God anyway. But the point I'm making is you have to have somebody who's been down that road mm-hmm. before you that can pour into you about the pitfalls, the trials that you're going to face, and help guide you along, if that makes sense.
Right.
I think it's important to have a two-parent home because when the parents break up or they get a divorce, it breaks the child's spirit. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say it breaks the child's spirit is because the child ultimately can't pick between the mom and the dad all the time, because you know it's hard when it's like ripping. You ever glue something, two pieces of paper together, mm-hmm. and you try to rip it apart. A part of that piece of the paper is with the other part. So it rips. That's what you're doing to that child. You're ripping mm-hmm. apart that child.
Wow, Nate.
Yo, I love that analogy, man.
That's a super that deep good, analogy.
Man. Thank you. Yeah, man.
Your license.
Who knows, man? God's working through me, man. So you know. Man. But you know, it's just like, and when that child is broken, it's only those pieces that can be put together by God. But also, when you look at it in a deeper sense, that child is looking for the boy. Like, say, like you had that daughter grows up, she's looking for a man in her life because she didn't have a father, so she meets the wrong man. She gets involved with bad relationships and starts having children out of wedlock, and that's where it brings, it trickles down to the fact that a man's pivotal role in the family is crucial. And just like a woman's pivotal role, if you have a son, that son might choose the wrong woman because he doesn't know what a good woman looks like. So the first the first example of a godly woman is the mom, the nurturer that you have. So
Awesome.
And
yeah,
one
good, Nate.
That was good,
Nate.
Man.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was really good. So one final thought right here. So let's say you was in a room by yourself and you have a camera and you have 2 minutes to describe life and what you want out of life for your kids. What would be the thoughts and words you would say? So you're in a room by yourself. You had a camera. You had to send a message to your kids about life, respect, honor, you name it. What would be your 2 minute talk track that you would say to your children? And I'll give you guys a few minutes if you want to process that. But I think that'd be really good so you can actually, you never know, share that out with your kids. Be like, this is what I want you to listen to. This is what I want you to follow along from my words and my thoughts. What would be those words that you would say to them, looking at them straight in the eye? What would be that sit down talk to them?
At what age are they?
Doesn't matter. If you can encompass everything in one, in one thing, what would you say? I know that's like a tough one, because
I would say, respect yourself. Be transparent with yourself, which will allow you to be transparent with others. Love yourself. Love the people around you. Be kind as often as you can, as much as you can. But be true. Be true to yourself. Follow your heart, and don't ever doubt yourself. And yeah, I think that's it. I think that's what I would say. Don't doubt yourself. Be kind. Respect yourself. Respect others. Yeah. That's it. That's what
nice,
I would
man.
Say.
Yeah. I think for me, for my little girls, I would probably say something along the lines of stay true to yourself. You know that you are going to be dealing with a lot of ups and downs, especially because you are going to be different than a lot of other kids, you know? And even though you may not find your footing right away, you are beautiful. You're loved on all sides of your family. And to enjoy and keep that laughter, keep that giggle, keep that playfulness that you have, you know, that will radiate through you and people will see it, you know, to shine bright. And the more you shine bright within yourself, everybody else will be able to see that glow.
Right. Well, I look at it like this, you know, follow God all the way through, follow his footsteps, lead the path that was paved for you. You know, only inspiration that I get was, you know, the footsteps quote that it says, you know, where there was only two footsteps, then you carried me. So when God carries you through life, like you can face obstacles like the COVID-19, like this racism that's going on in the world, you know, whether I'm here or whether I'm not here, I want you to still listen to God's voice in your ear. That's all I would say.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you for having us, man.
Hey,
this was a lot of fun.
Question, man.
I know. I know. Yeah, that's a loaded
I'm
question.
I'm thinking about it right now.
I know.
Right. Yeah, no. You know, like that scene on Black Panther where he was like, he said, a father that doesn't teach his son how to be a man before, like, what did he, come on, help me out with that. What did he say? He said, like, if I don't teach you how to be a man, then I didn't do my job or something like that. Like, y'all remember that scene?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I do.
What do you say, Nate?
I think it was Black Panther was saying, like, that one scene where the father, you know, he basically charged him, like, you know, to live your life, but to follow your heart. And I'm in it, he's basically, the father's a part of who he is. In the spirit, I guess. I'm just paraphrasing.
Yeah, me too. It's like he said to him, if I haven't taught you how to survive when I'm gone, then I didn't do my job. And
yes.
I embody that statement. It's like your job is to show them the direction they are to go. And you know, mm-hmm. I'm almost kicking myself that I didn't mention God. Thank you, Nate, for mentioning God. But yeah, you following the things of God will always keep you in the light that Tato was talking about, so you can shine bright. And yeah, there will be opposition, but you got to understand there is no growth without struggle. And if you're supposed to be, I want you to be all that you can be, not like the army. But in order for you to be that, you are going to go through some growing pains. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so just weather the storms and persevere. That's, I think that I would also have to incorporate that in my 2-minute speech to my children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I found the quote, by the way. King T'Chaka said, "A man who has not prepared his children for his own death has failed as a father."
Wow, that's good.
So if you take that, he's basically saying that if I haven't prepared you to take care of yourself while I'm when I leave, then I failed you.
Absolutely. Wow. That's it. That's a mic drop right there. It's how
yeah, right?
It is. It is like, boom, I'm out. Wow.
That's it, man.
Remember that part with Lion King? The Lion King also.
Yeah.
Lion King with Simba's dad left. Well, died, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And he said, you know, I'm with you in the sky. And
yeah.
And it was like the clouds turned into Mufasa.
Yeah.
And he said, remember who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Remember who you are.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah,
man. That's so good. And I gotta tell everybody on here is locked down. You know, I gotta say, y'all. We married, what am I going on, 6 years now? But I just remember my bishop, when I was going to marry her, he said, stay true to yourself. That's like one of the only things he said to me. He didn't say, he gave me his blessing, but he said, make sure you stay true to yourself. Don't lose yourself.
Yeah. Mm. That's good.
True. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for just doing this podcast. Happy Father's Day to you and all the fathers out there. This is Errol E. signing out.
Thank you.